What's up, everybody, and welcome back to Laying the Points with Farley Betts. I am Farley Betts. That's at Farley Betts on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. Mainly Twitter, mainly Instagram, because TikTok, I mean, I wouldn't care if TikTok went away, to be honest. Seems like an extra chore for me to get on there. But welcome, everybody, to Laying the Points. Great to have you back, as always. A weekly sports betting podcast. Might be two times a week as we get through these newborn stages, as we are over here at the Farley household, which I'm actually really enjoying. We're getting some good sleeps. She's a pretty good baby. But it is all encompassing, right? She needs mom and dad very often. So bear with me as we get through these first weeks. But we have a fantastic show today. Welcoming Maddie Betts. That's at Maddie Betts with two S's at the end on Twitter. Joining us today to talk UFC 287. He always has some fantastic angles and ways to bet on these fights for plus money or some huge plus money in some cases. And he's won huge plus money in previous cards. The Israel Adesanya, Alex Pereira, last time they fought, he won that KO in the fifth round, a huge win. I think it was 30-1. And he's got some great bets for you to consider this Saturday in the UFC as well. I can't wait for this card. I love the UFC. I love talking about it. And it's a fantastic conversation with the incomparable Maddie Betts. So hope you all enjoy the show today. We'll be back next week with a preview of the NBA playoffs. Hoping to get a guest on again next week as well. But you can look forward to that NBA playoff preview. That's what we do best, is handicap the NBA. And we got a lot of thoughts. So stay tuned for that. Thank you for listening to Laying the Points of Farley Betts. Let's get to it. UFC 287. What's up, everybody, and welcome back to Laying the Points with Farley Betts. Fantastic show today that I'm really excited about because I'm bringing on a first-time guest that I've been wanting to bring on for a long time, at Maddie Betts. That's Maddie, T-T-Y, with two S's at the end of Betts. What's going on, my man? South Florida boy, from what I know. We were talking a little bit before the show. You've moved around a lot. But this UFC event is near you, man. And let me tell you, ever since my bachelor party, I miss South Florida. Dude, it's a good-looking area, and it's a good time.
You can't beat South Florida. I'm in Delray Beach, so I'm about 40 minutes from the fights this weekend. I'm pumped. I got tickets. I'm gonna be at the Hard Rock.
That's it.
I'm gonna be at the Hard Rock Friday and Saturday, and then go to the fights for the prelims and the main card. But I'm pumped, bro. This card is. I've only been to one other card that I think was comparable, and it was the Gilbert Burns Khamzat Chimaev card, which wasn't even the main event. I think it was the co-main.
Yeah.
But it felt like the main event. But I'm so pumped for this card. At Pereira, Adesanya, Burns, oh, yeah. Masvidal. I mean, and then it's just stacked from top to bottom. It's not even that top heavy. So I'm pretty pumped.
Yeah, I love it, man. I mean, I'm half jealous that you live in South Florida and you have that life whenever you want. At the same time, it's like Vegas. Like, I don't know if I'd survive, dude. Like, you got to get used to it. Because I got some buddies down there, obviously, still. And it's like, how do you guys, you got to temper it. You know, you can't just always be out, always at the casino, always at the beach.
Right.
But it's certainly.
It's not as bad as Vegas. I'll tell you that because yeah. I could not live in Las Vegas. South Florida, I at least have other things to do. I'm not like next door to a casino, like 20, 30, 40 minutes from most of them. But Vegas, I don't know how people live there. That's just wild to me.
Me neither. Well, so are you kind of do you prefer like the Miami scene? Because I don't know why I would go down to Miami.
I'm cool with going to Miami every couple months, but like too much traffic, too much going on. I'm more of like Delray Beach, Boca Raton. I love the area there.
Yeah.
You got kind of the best of both worlds. You got nice places to eat, go out for some drinks, but it's also more low key and casual and less crazy than Miami. So I like going to Miami for stuff like UFC, but like, again, I couldn't live there and the traffic drives me nuts.
Yeah. I mean, it's like the Vegas of the East Coast, right? Your prices go up, everything else. You know, Fort Lauderdale, that's like the little sibling of Miami, but I think that's a way better time too, right? The better bars, cheaper beers, better time.
Exactly.
But, all right, my man. Well, let's get to this card. It's a huge card. I know we want to talk about some of these fights, some of these prelim fights as well. And you have a look at the first fight on the card on Saturday, Jacqueline Amorim versus Sam Hughes. What's your take on this one? I love that you have a play on the very first fight because most of us are just like, we got our first margarita. We're ready for the whole night.
Yeah.
Maybe not betting it, but you're betting it right from the get-go.
Yeah, so I have a rule. If I go to the fights, I bet on every single fight.
Yeah.
You know, again, this is for entertainment for me. I am up a little bit on UFC this year, but it's a roller coaster typically for me. I've had some crazy highs and some bad cards too. So, but this is a fight that I think that Jacqueline's Brazilian jiu-jitsu is just on another level. She's a Brazilian wrestler. She's a champ in BJJ. She, I believe, is 6-0 with 5 subs in MMA now. I actually think this is, like, because it's the first fight on the prelims and no one really knows these fighters. I mean, people know Sam Hughes and she's pretty tough, but I think this is actually a sneaky, easy bet of the night, if you will. And I think right now, I think Jacqueline at +125 on the submission is kind of what I'm looking at. I think she'll get it done in the first or second round. But like, this girl's been practicing jiu-jitsu since she came out of the womb, bro. Like, she's literally, her dad had her 5 years old practicing BJJ. Like, I just think there's levels. I think this girl's going to come in and sub her pretty quickly. So I want to say that number was either +125 or +155 on the submission, somewhere in that range.
Yeah, I'm going by DraftKings. I'm seeing it at +150.
Nice.
And then if you want to do one by submission or decision, then it gets way juiced up, right, to -225, because we know a lot of these fights.
A lot of the female fights go to decision.
It's
usually like -400 for the over.
I know. Yeah, unfortunately. Which, you know, makes a pretty good parlay leg in some cases. But I like your look. I mean, you're getting plus money there. I love a story like that. Somebody's doing it since they were a baby, essentially. So great look there on the first fight of the night. There you go, ladies and gents. You can have action on this card as soon as it starts, which is probably around, what, like 6:30?
I think the prelims start at – like 4 or 5. I might be wrong, though. I got to check.
Yeah. Maybe as early as 5 o'clock sometimes. But, you know, it's on the East Coast, so they probably don't have to push it at a too weird of a time.
Yeah.
Let's talk about another prelim that I'm interested in. Michelle Waterson Gomez versus Luana Pinheiro. So here's my take on this, man.
Yeah.
Michelle Waterson Gomez is, I think she's kind of done, man. You know, she's been like modeling a little bit, you know, karate hottie, right? Like, she kind of got famous, you know, has some tough fights, has some good victories, but it just feels like maybe she's not completely focused on the UFC. On the other hand, you got Luana Pinheiro, who, I mean, first of all, even at -165, I think is a steal. I think that's a pretty good price. But this is a chick who's won 8 fights in a row. She's submitted 50% of her people in 10 out of her fights. And she just, you know, she's a great grappler, right? And those are the fighters that Michelle Waterson has had issues with. She can get taken to the ground. Michelle Waterson likes to stand up, throw those kicks, et cetera. I don't think she's going to have an opportunity in this one, man. Kind of like a submission win for Luana, or, you know, maybe submission or decision, similar to your previous bet. You can get Luana Pinheiro, though, up to +600 by submission. And again, 50% of her wins, she's 10-1, have been by submission. So I don't know. I think it's pretty good value there. Obviously, Waterson has some good experience, but I'm looking to fade her, man. I think that her kind of, you know, time under, you know, the limelight is starting to run out. What do you got in this fight?
I'm actually on the dog in this fight, but I won't be shocked if it goes the way you said it.
Yeah.
I still think Michelle Watterson's in great shape. And I think Luana, like, she's only had 3 fights in the UFC. Sure. And she looked a little gassed in one of those fights. She also had the DQ win. So I just think Michelle is like a veteran, and I don't think she's quite done yet. You know, and she looks really good, in great shape. She's got really good striking. She doesn't have knockout power by any means, but I could see her maybe inching out a decision here. So I'm going to take the money line in that fight, but not something I'm going to be betting the house on by any means.
plus you got to think that Michelle Waterson knows what her weaknesses are, right? She's working on her takedown defense, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I mean, if she can keep that on the feet, then I think, you know, we might see some live odds change in her direction if she shows some good takedown defense. But I'm going to stick with Luana for that one. I love the +600 as like a, you know, just like a shot, you know, maybe like a half a unit play, something like that.
Yeah.
But so that's in the prelims, and this is the main, or the, I guess you could call it the main event of the prelims. Chris Curtis versus Kelvin Gastelum. Kelvin Gastelum, a slight favorite in this matchup. And, dude, this one's tough for me, right? Because Kelvin's he's a seasoned pro. You know, went toe-to-toe with Israel Adesanya, almost beat him. I mean, But then Chris Curtis, dude, I mean, if this guy stands on his feet, he can knock anybody out.
Yeah.
What do you got on this one, Maddie?
So this, to me, is the toughest fight on the entire card to predict. I think the best version of Kelvin Gastelum smokes Chris Curtis.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we don't know what we're going to get out of Kelvin Gastelum.
Exactly.
And Chris Curtis is a stud. Like, and he typically doesn't really lose to, like, strikers like that. But Gastelum – so I think the one thing Curtis has here is he has really good counter striking, and Gastelum likes to come forward. So he could have some success there. I'm literally flip-flopped on this fight maybe three times already. What I honestly like the most is the fight to go the distance or just over 2.5 rounds. But it's starting to, like, if you're going to bet that, you should have bet it 2-3 days ago, honestly, because I saw some crazy money come in on that. But I think it was at minus 190, like, to go over 2.5 rounds, and now I'm seeing it at, like, 230 plus. But the way I look at it is I don't see Gastelum finishing Chris Curtis. And Gastelum, if there's one thing he's proven, he has a crazy chin. So the only thing that scares me in this fight, if you're going to bet Chris Curtis, is the volume. Like, I feel like Gastelum's just going to throw way more. I think he's just going to throw way more strikes. And I think he can do more in the striking. Like, Curtis is really good boxing, but, like, Gastelum will throw the kicks and he'll come forward. And my gut tells me Gastelum's going to win a decision just based off of volume. Even like Chris Curtis, I can't get that Jack Hermanson fight out of my head. I can't even get the Joaquin Buckley fight out of my head. Like, Buckley was not really piecing him up, but, like, he was just outstriking, outlanding him until he got finished. Even like the commentators in that fight were like, you know how the commentators will say one thing and then the next second it'll fight will change. Like, dude, this, I think in that fight they were like, oh, you know, Chris Curtis can't keep doing this, he's got to do that, and then Curtis knocks him out. But, like, I'm getting the vibes of, like, what Chito Vera and Corey Sandhagen did, right? Like, yeah. Like, I feel like Chito, like, just didn't know what to do. He didn't have enough volume. It was a constant attack just coming at him. And I feel like Gastelum's going to do that with the pressure. And I actually see a lot of people that I respect on Chris Curtis, but gun to my head, I go Gastelum. I don't like the movement on the odds. I would have liked to get him more at a pick 'em. I like the over as my official play, and I would probably sprinkle on a Gastelum decision.
I like it. I think those are all sharp looks. I mean, the Kelvin Gastelum by decision is like the favorite of the plus money, right? It's plus 150 on DraftKings. So, you know, they're saying, you know, if you're looking for a decision victory like that, that's probably going to be the best case scenario there. But like you said, man, it really all depends on what Kelvin Gastelum we get, right? Like, he's had some weight issues, you know, certainly some, like, motivational issues, it seems. If the best version of him, and this is, I mean, I kind of like the way that the UFC set up this fight, right? Because if we see the best version of him, then he's right back in the mix again.
Agreed.
But Chris Curtis, this is like a level up fight for him, right? If he can knock out Kelvin Gastelum, which is not easy to do,
it's really,
then it's a level up fight for him as well, right? So I'll probably just sit back and watch this one, but I just wanted to get your thoughts on it because it is one of the harder fights. And as you see, the price says it all, right? It's
I think the over 2.5 could be a solid parlay piece for some bettors if they want to throw that in something. You know, again, I don't know what it's at right now, but I saw it at, like, up to, like, -230 from being at -190 earlier in the week.
Now let me ask you this: if Gastelum is controlling the fight, it gets into the third round, live odds go way up on, you know, Chris Curtis to get a knockout before it all finishes. Do you maybe sprinkle on that?
I mean, I'm curious what the round three knockout is for Curtis, like, pre-fight, because I think that number will probably be higher than the live odds.
Oh, well, that's true.
I don't know though. I'm just guessing.
Yeah.
It's so hard to bet on a guy. I just, deep down, I feel like Curtis is going to get frustrated, kind of like he did Hermanson. And he's going to lose the decision. Like, I just see that going happening, but he's definitely always live for the knockout. I mean, he's got some crazy hands.
Plus 1800 for a third round knockout from Chris Curtis. So you know, have a damn good night at the casino or wherever you are Saturday night if you cash that one. Okay. Yeah. Let's get to the main card. Great card. Really.
Let me give you before you do the main card. I have one crazy long shot. I always have to have one long shot in the prelim.
Absolutely.
But Chase Sherman, round three knockout is 40 to 1. 40-1
I'm sure it is because he gasses out so quick, man.
Yeah. So, but so the only reason I like it is his opponent is kind of coming in on short notice, even though he just fought a little bit ago.
That's true. Yeah.
And Sherman's a guy that like will accumulate damage. Like he's not going to put you out, but like if he's able to like survive early, which I don't know that he is. I think he's like he could be down 2-0 going into the third round. And if his opponent starts to tire out, like, you know, maybe he could accumulate some damage there and get like a late TKO. So that's like the smallest of sprinkles, like less than a quarter unit if you're going to bet it. But it's 40-1 and I've hit crazy long shots. I had Pereira 30-1. I've had Cheeto 25-1. This would be the highest one I've hit if I hit it. But I got a sprinkle on it just for fun.
Yeah. Oh, I've seen your hits, man. And I love the fact you do that too, because it's like, I mean, I think I hit one recently for 10 units too, but I felt like I was kind of, you know, practicing my Matty Betts, you know, mentality because dude, it's like, then you have a good night, right? Like no matter what, you're up.
My motto is all it takes is one.
all it takes is one. And something about this card, man, probably because it's in Miami. Yeah. I feel like there's going to be some crazy shit going on this fight card. So worth a look for sure. Chase Sherman, I mean, he just has to, you know, he has to survive, right? Because he gasses out so quick, especially if he's getting taken down. But maybe he's also worked on his takedown defense. You know, we'll see.
And he has a round 3 knockout recently, too. We pull that up. Which fight was it?
Good old Chase. Some people don't think Chase should
have been. Jared Bandera. But Jared Bandera is really not as bad as people think. Like he's got.
What was that last year?
That was in April 2022. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, that was in July 2022. You know, he lost to Romanov and Jake Collier early subs. But like again, this is a 40-1 for a reason. He's got to survive early, which is going to be tough. But I think if both guys are tired going into that third round, you just never know.
Yeah, and, you know, power still tends to survive even in those late rounds, right? They can't stand up, but they can still punch with a lot of power sometimes. So look out for that, especially maybe in round 3 for Chase Sherman. Okay, let's move on to the main card. Matty Betts here talking UFC 287. Again, you can find him at Matty Betts on Twitter. That's two S's at the end of Betts. All right, Raul Rosas Jr. versus Christian Rodriguez. This Raul Rosas is 18 years old, you know, putting all of us to shame as far as like, dude, you're learning how to fight this good, that young. That's insane.
It's got to be embarrassing to be like a 28-year-old fighting him and getting subbed. Right. Like, this dude's like going to high school. Like he's like in math class and then he's submitting you. Like it's got to be embarrassing.
Yeah. You know, it goes out to – you know, it goes out for like, you know, dinner, somebody picks a fight with him and he fucks him up, you know, like it's a 28-year-old in their prime or something.
But UFC's really pushing him too.
Really pushing him, right? I mean, I was going to say that. I mean, he's on a pay-per-view fight already. This is only his second fight in the UFC, I believe.
Yeah.
And, you know, 18 years old. Here's the thing for me about him. Even though he's fresh and Christian Rodriguez is obviously the best opponent that he's ever had, right. You know, I don't think that Christian Rodriguez is you know, all that great, but, you know, he's going to be prideful about this fight, right? He's going to be like, I'm not going to let this kid fucking beat me.
Yeah.
The thing about an 18-year-old, man, you remember what it was like to be 18. You have, like, insane confidence, even if you shouldn't, you know? Right. And there's no reason for Raul Rosas Jr. to not have confidence at this point. He ends every fight early. I just like this fight to end early, man. So I'm going to probably look at props and ways for that to happen, and maybe he gets caught too, right? I mean, this is a veteran that he's facing this time around.
Yeah,
what do you got in this fight?
So I think it's gonna go the distance. Not out of you, but it's like two grapplers. I mean, Christian Rodriguez has never been finished in 9 MMA fights.
Yeah.
I think we're gonna see a boring fight. Like I think Rosas is gonna hold him down and win the grappling exchanges. And I think it could even be a controversial decision, like if, you know, just because it's like damage versus control time.
Yeah.
And like I could actually see this being a controversial decision that they're like pushing Rosas here and he gets like a 29-28 like split decision or something. But I just like the number on it because it's more of a contrarian play. Like everyone's going to be on the sub prop here or the early finish. And I think it was plus 245 on a decision, and this could end up being like a grappling match where he could just win a on the scorecard. So I just like the number more than anything.
Yeah, to go the distance is plus 110 on DraftKings, but Raul Rosas to win by decision plus 225. I'll try to look for a split decision in here sometime. I got a nice split decision win in one of these recent ones. I can't find it.
The way judging is nowadays, it's almost you almost have.
I know.
I mean, even like that Chito Vera Sandhagen fight, I had.
Yeah, that was a split, right?
I had crazy money on Chito, and I couldn't believe that a judge had him win in three rounds. I was like, "What are you watching?"
Yeah.
It's wild.
Dude, I was riding on that one with you, man. I thought that Chito, you know, because of everything that his daughter's
that
been through.
Badly.
Yeah, that I mean, he was okay, but it seemed like he was a little less fiery in that one than I expected. Right, like Sandhagen kind of stifled him pretty early.
Yeah, that one's badly. I lost some serious coin on that fight.
Yeah, you're talking mad shit about all week too, which I love, dude. You got to back it up. You know, you can't be afraid.
Yeah, I was dead. I had to own it, though. I was dead. I was just a bad pick.
Well, I mean, I don't know. You know, Chito looked really good leading up to that fight. He looked a little different in that fight, if you ask me. Yeah. But, you know, these things are hard to predict. I mean, one-on-one sports, I would say, you know, unless you're betting tennis like Djokovic against someone, like, I mean, it's tough, man. Anything, especially in a fight. Fucking anything can happen.
Fights, yeah.
All right, let's move on to Kevin Holland versus Santiago. I'm going to kill this guy's name. Ponzinibbio.
Yep, you got it.
Kevin Holland, man, again, I feel like this is kind of a motivation fight again. Are we going to get Kevin Holland is just like chilling out there, you know, stretching out, doing, you know, dance moves? I mean, super talented fighter. Obviously, the more talented fighter in this fight, probably.
Yeah.
But you got a guy who's live, right? And this is an opportunity for Santiago to elevate his career. And Kevin Holland just looks disinterested sometimes. What do you got on this one, man?
Yeah, this one I struggled with, but the biggest thing that moved the needle for me is, and I like Alex Morono, but when I watched that Alex Morono piece up Santiago for two rounds just recently, and again, I've made serious money on Alex Morono. I bet him against Cowboy Cerrone at all the knockout props, and I think Morono's super underrated. But at the same time, I don't think Kevin Holland's going to be as hittable as Morono is, and I think – And Kevin Holland is a finisher. Like, I think 6 to 7 wins or finishes. This is one where I would take him inside the distance because I think the submission could be live. So I don't want to, I wouldn't want to bet the knockout and get burnt on it. But I think the inside the distance or just any finish is like plus 130 ish, plus 140. So I would take that. The only thing I'm a little hesitant about is just that hand injury for Holland that scares me a little. But I do think he needs a win badly, and I think he will after that Wonder Boy fight and the Khamzat fight. Like, I think he will get takedowns, and he's just not that hittable. Like, he's a 9-inch reach advantage. If he wanted to, he could coast to a decision win in this fight, but I don't think he does that because he's an entertainer at heart, and he always wants to put on shows. And I mean, we see guys like the Leech who put out Santiago cold on the feet. I gotta believe with Kevin Holland's power and reach advantage that he could either catch him on the feet, maybe a club and sub, or maybe just a TKO or a knockout. So I like the number on the inside the distance here. Ponzinibbio is kind of at the tail end of his career. He actually fights out of my area, I'm pretty sure. One of my boxing coaches actually trains him. But I just think he's kind of at the tail end of his career, and this is a must-win for Kevin Holland. Like, you can entertain, but, like, you got to at some point get back on the win column.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And if you look at those, I mean, Kevin Holland is kind of somebody who, you know, he murks people who are weaker competition. But, you know, if you look at his law, right, Marvin Vettori, which, you know, I'm kind of bumping down as well, but he's a formidable.
Yeah, like Brunson.
Yeah, you know, he's
Vettori. Like, he's not, he doesn't really lose the strikers unless you're Wonder Boy.
Dude, I can't believe that he went toe to toe with Wonder Boy trying to kick with him. Like, what are you doing, dude? Like, you don't do that.
It was unbelievable. I mean, you know, just down to let him up.
Yeah, it took some courage, you know. I mean, give it to him, but that was crazy that he did that. Of course, I'm on like SureDog as we're talking here. My computer is completely slowing down, so hopefully there's no connection issues as we keep talking. But all right, let's move on to the next fight. We got three more to go. Rob Font, I know you got some thoughts on this one, because I saw a few things you said on Twitter about it. Rob Font versus Adrian Yanez. Yanez, up-and-coming fighter. He's the favorite here at minus 190. But Font, man, he's a tough dude. High strike rate, right? You like him in this one?
Yeah, so my tweet is probably misleading to a lot of people, and not intentionally, but my point, and I'm actually putting a video out on this fight later today, but I think Rob Font is going to torch him in that first round, the same way Randy Costa did. And Adrian Yanez is, and it's funny because his last name's actually pronounced Yanez. He came out on Twitter and just said that recently because everyone's always said it Yanez. But Adrian Yanez is a guy that will, I think, catch you late after he gets the timing down. And, dude, if you go back and watch that, I'm telling you, you have to go back and watch that Cheeto-Rob Font fight. I don't know if you saw it. But, bro, Cheeto, I've never seen a fight that there wasn't a finish that there could have been, like, so strongly. Like, yeah. He got his ass beat. Rob Font is now 35. He is Nate Diaz type scar tissue. Like, his face got lit up. And I'm telling you, I saw this in, like, I've already envisioned it. There's going to be a doctor stoppage late in this fight or a late TKO. And Yanez is going to get it done. So right now, I have on my card, I have a round two and a round three knockout. Depending on what book, some books you can bet like one bet, right, as round two or three. Or what I did is I took round two knockout, which is 13-1. And then I took round three knockout, which is – or no, round two is 6-1, 6 or 7-1, depending on where you get it. And then round three is about plus 1,200, plus 1,300, depending on where you get it. But I really believe there's going to be a doctor stoppage in this fight. Like, Yanez is going to get torched early on because he's a slow starter. But once he gets those hands going late in the fight, like, he's got serious power. He's got those hooks and those straight shots. And I just think that Rob Font, like, as durable as he's been, there comes a point in time, like, even in round three against Cheeto, like, this dude was, like, out on his feet, like, stumbling, falling over, jumping, grabbing his Cheeto's leg. Like, yeah. I couldn't believe he didn't get finished. And at some point, and, like, with the momentum Adrian Yanez has right now, I just think he's going to catch him in that second or third round. I'm hoping it's the third round because the number's way bigger.
I like the way you're looking at it because, yeah, I think the Yanez has to respect, right? He has to respect Rob Font and the kind of competition he's seen throughout his career. I mean, he's faced almost everybody.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the asterisk for me. He's 35, right? And he's been through it all. Yanez is 29. He's an up-and-comer. Like, he wants to be elevated to the next level. So I don't think he's going to let this one get away from him. Are there, like, round one lines for, like, the amount of strikes?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, maybe on some DFS apps, Prize Picks probably.
Yeah, probably on DFS apps, yeah. But you got some good lines and other stuff, man, because all those
– most Yanez, I've seen KO round two. For, like, the exact props and round outcomes, FanDuel is usually 10 to 30% better than – DraftKings or more books that I've seen. Yeah. But and I live in Florida, so it is a nightmare to bet all this shit. Like, I have like three different boys bet for me. I got bookies. I got all sorts of shit. But like, I'm telling you right now, like, if you're going to bet exact outcomes in rounds and you have access to FanDuel, usually they're going to have the best numbers for this stuff. I mean, I've literally seen, I bet, what was it, a while back? I had something at like plus 1300 on FanDuel that was literally plus 900 everywhere else. I mean, the numbers are just like a lot bigger on some of these exact outcomes.
Yeah. I'm going to move over to FanDuel since you said that, because everything you're saying is a little bit lower
on DraftKings
so far from what I can tell. So I think you're onto something there. Good information. I mean, this is, you know, the basic tactics of sports betting, right? You got to shop for the best line.
Yeah. And I don't know if there's any like softwares out there that really compare like these exact props, right? Because obviously if you're just taking fighter money lines, you go on a million different websites and see that, you know, Gilbert Burns is minus 450 here and 490 here. But like, it's hard to compare these exact outcome props.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, there are different bets that you can make on FanDuel too that are a little, I mean, in my opinion, a little more favorable from what I'm seeing, like the first 3 minutes of the fight, right? Like a lot of these lines, they cut it in half, or they say like the first 30 seconds or whatever. I mean, it's so hard to bet on shit like that.
Right.
But we'll move over to FanDuel from here on. That's a good note, man. Let's move on to the co-main event. Gilbert Burns versus Jorge Masvidal. And let me set the table for this man. I mean, Jorge is sounding like the old Jorge, right? He's like, hey, man, I'm going to fuck this guy up. You know, fuck you. I'm going to make everybody money in Vegas. And, you know, obviously, I mean, at this point, you know, even on FanDuel, Burns is up to minus 530. So, that's a tough one to take, right? But do you think, I mean, I'll just start with this. Do you think Jorge has a shot in this? Because obviously he's talking about retirement and everything. He always has a shot in terms of knockout power. But Gilbert Burns, it looks like he's trained like an animal for this one. Younger, probably matters a little more to him. But it is in Jorge's Miami. What do you got in this one, Matt? I have to be Gilbert Burns, I think. But, dude, I'm a little scared that like the old Jorge shows up for a second.
Yeah, I mean, I think the only way to bet this fight is Gilbert Burns by decision. That's what I have on my card. I got it at plus 175. Like Gilbert, he really hasn't submitted guys at this weight class. I think it's been once or twice. Masvidal hasn't been submitted in the last 14 years. Masvidal's really only been knocked out by Kamaru Usman, and that was the most perfect setup I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Masvidal is actually really good defensively on the feet. And Gilbert's pretty cautious. Like, everyone thinks Gilbert's – because of that Khamzat fight, which was a war.
Dude, that was an amazing fight.
That was a great fight, but, like, Gilbert's – he's locked in. Like, he wants a title shot. Like, he wants to entertain people, but he's also not going to come out against Masvidal and just start throwing and put himself in harm's way. I think he's going to be – I think it's going to be a really slow start. Like, I think the first 2 to 3 minutes is going to be a lot of feints and just movement. But I like Gilbert by decision. I think he kind of ragdolls him as the fight goes on, gets some late takedowns, maybe like a 30-27, maybe a 29-28. But I think that's the only way to bet this fight. Like, yeah, you can – if you're going to bet Masvidal, like, you're better off just taking the knockout.
Yeah.
Like, I think you get that at plus 600 or 700, whatever the number is. I mean, yeah, he could win a decision if he just does more damage, I guess. But I just – Gilbert is a war. He's a tank, man. Like, and that's the thing that people aren't talking about is, like, they're like, oh, Masvidal's takedown defense is 75%. But, like – and that's true. And he's fought, obviously, Colby and Kamara recently. But, like, Gilbert's takedowns are different. Like, he's not going to shoot a double leg. He's literally going to wrap you up in the clinch and, like, try to get, like, his arms locked and just be, like, out-physical you.
Yeah.
That's what he does. So I think there's a big strength gap. I think there's a big commitment gap. And I think these guys are just – and another thing I haven't even mentioned, like, if you're going through legal shit and lawsuits, that shit is taxing on you mentally.
Who's going through that?
Well, Jorge. With Colby Compton, yeah. So, like,
yeah.
I just think that, like, with all of that going on, like, there's just no chance that doesn't impact you as a fighter. Like, that is a lot. He's 3 felonies right now he's fighting.
Yeah.
Like, we got one guy who's 3 felonies and has lost 12 decisions in the last 12 of his last 16 losses in the UFC or in MMA have been decision losses. And then we have another guy who is going to be cautious on the feet, is locked in, wants a title shot, I think gets a decision win.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say this. The one thing about Gilbert Burns where I kind of want to take him in like a round 3 knockout, which you can just get him to win in round 3 plus 1,200
on
FanDuel is, dude, I mean, the way that he was striking with Khamzat was impressive to me, man. Like, he almost knocked him out. I mean, several times almost knocked him out.
I was there live. I was rooting for Gilbert like crazy. That was the most disrespectful odds I've ever seen in UFC.
What were the odds for that?
Gilbert was like what Masvidal is today as a dog against.
Okay. Yeah.
He was like plus 400 or something.
Oh yeah, and Gilbert Burns was like top 3 at that point, right? Wasn't he like in the division?
So disrespectful.
Oh my god.
Yeah. You have to bet him out of principle of it, and I feel like people are saying that now about Masvidal. Like, he's in Miami, he has a chance. You get him at almost 4-1, whatever the number is. I'm just like, yeah, but like, if he loses, he's still gonna lose. Like, yeah. I get you have to bet value, and I actually am a big like I love betting value because that. You know, over the long run, you have to bet value. You can't just bet on what you think is going to happen. But, like, I don't know, man. I just don't think he's going to win. I think he's going to be beat up for 3 rounds. I also never believe anything Masvidal says. Like, he just says shit to sell shit. And
he's a promoter, too. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I just think that Gilbert Burns, the way he punches, you know, you could see it visibly It's just different, man. I mean, he's, you know, obviously he's great at takedowns. I mean, he has a full arsenal, but dude, he has some power, and Masvidal can be dropped, you know, like he can fall too, right? We've seen that before. And if he is half in this fight or thinking about retirement, or like maybe it's round three and he's like, fuck this a little bit, like in his head, he's going to get knocked out, or, you know, something's going to happen. So I'm probably going to sprinkle just a little bit on that result. But I agree with you. That's probably going to start really slow, right? This is two guys going to test each other out, respect between both fighters, you know, because they don't hate each other, right? It's just like, but of course they both want to win. Is this also for the BMF title, that dumb shit?
I don't think Gilbert's even involved in that, but
okay. Hopefully The Rock isn't there.
Gilbert's just going for that belt, man. He is locked in. Ever since I saw him lose to Kamaru Usman and cry, like I could see just deep down, like how much this shit like means to him and how much work he puts into this, to his craft. And I just think he's locked in on another level. I mean, I'm even nervous betting the decision, because a part of me is like, oh, he's going to go out and just finish Masvidal the way he did.
Magny. I think he's pretty determined. But
yeah, but at the same time, I look at the numbers and I'm like, Masvidal doesn't really get finished. Like he did against Kamaru, but like he really doesn't get finished. True. The numbers just make sense on the decision prop. And I feel like everyone's going to be betting on violence in this fight, so it's kind of like a contrarian play too.
Yeah. A 38-year-old Jorge, though, I don't know. It could be a little different version of him.
Right. Believe me, it's scary. It's definitely
it's going to be a battle. I mean, hopefully, either way. And I love that co-main event. I mean, it's in Miami, right? So you're going to have some heat there between both of them.
Yeah. I'll tell you one thing. It's almost it almost is in a sick way when you're watching the fights, like rooting for that KO is kind of like betting the over, right? In sports.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, but like having to go in the distance is nerve-wracking. Like you're like, oh, there can't be a finish. But like,
oh my God, especially between two bangers like these guys, like they're gonna be throwing.
Yeah, but it just feels easier. Like it feels easier sometimes where you're like you, when you just need a knockout, you're like, fuck, I know. It sucks. I know. Like, need a knockout, get the knockout. And then
I've been finding myself on that end of it, you know, just waiting, waiting for
the knockout. Love betting that. It's the opposite. It's just like the over in sports.
Yeah,
is betting on these finishes, and like, you know, then a takedown happens, and then 3 minutes of control time, and you're like, oh shit! And then the round's over, and then
everyone's rolling their eyes.
Yeah, there's just so much that happens. So, you know.
All right. Well, speaking of takedowns, let's go to the main event, because Israel Adesanya, he thinks that he, you know, was easily winning that last fight. I'll tell you. I mean, the way I looked at this from the very beginning, Matt, is. I mean, we have Alex Pereira versus Israel Adesanya. Pereira is still an underdog, plus 114 on FanDuel. I was kind of shocked that he's the underdog, man. I mean, I do think I realize Israel Adesanya, this is, for any fighter, this is probably the spot to take him, right? I mean, he's extremely motivated. He cannot lose this fight in his mind, because then he kind of drops down to like everybody else in the middleweight division, right? Like he's not, I don't know if he's just the same Israel after this, if he loses again, right? He's got all the spectacle around him all the time. The UFC loves him. But Alex Pereira, man, he just might be the boogeyman for him, dude. Like, he just seems like more, I mean, he's a bigger dude. He throws harder. What do you got on this one, man? This should be entertaining. I hope it isn't like some kind of fucking bogus early, like, you know, like ending or something, because this one hopefully goes all five rounds and it's really entertaining.
Yeah,
or maybe not all five rounds, but right, it's a good fight, you know, three plus.
Yeah, so I hit Alex Pereira round five, 30-1 last time they fought. It was probably my favorite bet I've ever hit in my life, because the ups and downs of that fight to get there. I mean, Alex was almost out on his feet in the end of the first round, right? Then he's getting taken down, he's tired, but Alex, like, he's pretty smart. Like, he'll literally lose a round just to recover, because he knows he's down anyways and he needs to get a finish. And like, I think this fight, he's going to come out more aggressive. Like, I think he knows that he just needs to get right in Izzy's face and like get him up against the cage. And I don't know, man. Like, I think if you're Adesanya, like, yeah, you want to mix in wrestling, but like, if you start shooting takedowns, you're like admitting like that this guy's better than you on the feet. And I just can't see him.
Good point. Yeah.
Doing that, man. I think he's full of shit. Like, I saw him in the press conference saying, I'm going to put him on his back. And then he said, oh, I didn't mean to say that type of vibe. And I think it was fake. I don't know. But I mean, and then here's the other thing. You start shooting takedowns as a guy that's not a wrestler. Like Izzy is not a wrestler. If he starts shooting takedowns, you better watch out for that knee. And I just have a feeling
the uppercut. Yeah.
Alex could hit. I mean, we saw what Calvin Gaslam did with the head kick against Izzy that wobbled him. Alex has these flying knees and these head kicks. And Alex had a ton of success with those leg kicks in the first fight.
Yeah.
And like if Alex starts throwing those leg kicks out there and then the next thing you know, one goes to the head. Like I just think Izzy has to be perfect for 25 minutes. I'm not willing to bet that. I think if these guys fought 10 straight times and Izzy lost 9 times, like literally odds makers would have Izzy as a favorite as in the 10th fight. Yeah. It makes no sense. I'm willing to lose money on this fight betting Alex's money line because he's made me so much. And if that's what happens, it happens. And maybe the UFC wants a trilogy, but like, give me Alex money line. Give me the knockout props. I would take knockouts round 2 through 5 in this fight. I obviously don't think it's happened in the first round, but like, I do think it could happen sooner this time. And here's the other thing. UFC champs in the rematch, like 3-11 or some shit, 3-12. I don't know, whatever the number is. Yeah. We just saw Kamaru. Everyone was like, there's no way Kamaru loses to Leon again. He's going to just spam wrestle him. He's going to just unanimous decision win. I took Leon Edwards in that fight. I had the money line. I sprinkled on the KO. Didn't win that one. But it's just the numbers are the numbers. We're taking – like, just like forget these guys' names, right?
Yeah.
Taking fighter A, who is plus money and has beat this guy 3 times in combat sports. And it's proven that champs that lose the belt in the rematch just historically don't win the second time. I'm like, give me the plus money. It's not complicated to me.
I love that we're in agreement about this one. Has some good disagreement on the show too, which is great for content, by the way. You can choose which side you like.
Yeah.
But in this one, I feel the same way, man. I mean, Alex Pereira, the thing I like about him is he seems egoless, you know, like he's just, I mean, he's a tactician, he's a technician. You know, UFC experts talk about him that he can go up to heavyweight. He's just like the bigger dude, right? He's like wider. I think he's more dense. And if he goes at Israel, like you said from the very start, or if Israel, I like your point that you made a lot, that Israel probably has to seem a little bit like I'm being a bitch if I just try to wrestle this guy at all times. So he doesn't want to do that, right? He wants to put on a show a little bit. He's going to have to throw with him at least, you know, at least for half this fight. And that's a dangerous situation from what we've seen against Alex Pereira, who just is the bigger fighter. I think he has harder strikes. That's pretty obvious. You know, those leg kicks were opened up right from the beginning of that last fight and really had an effect on the whole thing. He could do the same thing again, no problem. I don't see any change in that. So, dude, I mean, I love Israel, right? I mean, he's a great personality.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, I think this just might be like his kryptonite. And I like your round bets too. You're going to take 2 through 5?
2 through 5, yeah. I think I've seen round 2 was like 12-1, I think it was. And then they go up like 14, 16, 20-1. Now it's funny because the round 5 is 20-1 now. I had it at 30-1 at the first fight. But the first fight, I sprinkled round 3, 4, 5. Literally the reason I did that was I watched Izzy in some of his previous fights, like even the Jared Cannonier fight.
Yeah.
Like, and then I forget one of the other fights as well before that. Like these guys came on late against him and like actually landed. Like if Cannonier is landing on you in rounds 4 and 5, I was like, what is Pereira going to do?
Yeah.
So I just had to, I just watched all that footage and I was like, these odds are huge. And the fight just, it was lucky because the fight played out perfectly because Pereira was down on the scorecards and he took a round to recover, get his gas tank back. And so this is the most fun way to bet in the UFC. Like if I have to sweat for 5 or 10 minutes to get to a certain point, and then I have like a 5 to 10, 15 minute window where I can get a finish, I love betting that way.
Yeah. Absolutely, man. And you know, like you said, you're right. I mean, he's probably going to be more settled in this time. He's the champ. And you know, in these rematches, I think the champion that comes to fight has more confidence, right? They have something to defend. They have like a responsibility.
Yeah. And he's only going to be better in MMA, like every fight. Like he's only going to be better training with Glover Teixeira, like
which is terrifying.
He's going to be more well-rounded every fight. Yeah. I still don't know how this guy makes weight. He is massive.
I don't know. He reminds me of what's that real dense dude? I always forget his name from Cuba. You know who He fought Israel too. I mean, like, didn't do anything for like 3 minutes. Remember that? What's that dude's name? Wrestler, Olympic wrestler. I don't know why I can never remember this some bitch's name, but it's like, I don't know how he ever made weight. You're going to know who I mean when I say it, but that's how Alex Pereira is. Like, this dude could fight at 250, you know, and probably be moving around swiftly. But yeah, dude, it's just, I don't know. I think Alex Pereira is the boogeyman. I think he gets another.
Jan Błachowicz?
No. Jan, the Polish power, bro. That's going to kill me if I can.
Vittori, Whitaker, Romero, Costa.
Romero. Yeah. Yoel Romero looks like he's 250 pounds and he's like 170. Like, what are we doing?
He does really well against those, like, shorter, jacked guys like Paulo Costa, Romero. Like, those guys don't have a chance against him. Like, it's all matchup. It's all about how people match up against each other.
Yeah. And a prayer is just as long, and he's way more powerful, if you ask me. Yeah. Matty Betts, man, it was great to have you on, man. I'm looking to have you on here for a long time. You can come on here and talk UFC with me anytime. I feel like the world is split. Either you hate UFC because it feels like gladiators, or you fucking love it like us. I love it, man. It's a great sport.
Fantastic.
You know, you got to be careful around corners now because you don't know who's training MMA these days. this should be a great card, man. I hope you enjoy it. You're probably going to be having a better time than I am in South Florida. I'm going to, you know, just be at home. Probably the newborn is going to be up with me at that, not up, but I'm going to have responsibility. So thanks, man. But I don't know if I'm going to be able to get after it like you.
Yeah.
But I'll be with you, man. Hopefully win some big cash this weekend. Anything else you want to leave us with?
No, that's it. It was a great card. I mean, lots of action for sure. So hopefully we hit some bets.
Yeah, man. At Matty Betts again, 2 S's at the end on Twitter. Check him out. There's a lot of great work across all sports. We'll see you here next time, Matt. Appreciate it, man.
Appreciate it, bro.